swept the technique.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Get to Watt in a moment. 9506 says, Brady is not top five, rack me. I'd like to know what he means by that. Elaborate, 9506. Because, I mean, he's the greatest resume ever. But if you were to say he's not top five talent at the position, okay. I could meet you halfway there.
Talent,
I would have Mahomes,
I would
have Manning, I would have Rodgers. Yeah.
I would even like a
Marino.
No, talent at the position, he's definitely probably on the outskirts or hovering right around five, because he, to his credit, without having all the athleticism and the physical gifts of like a rocket arm, he constantly was fine-tuning and changing his delivery and his release points and his footwork as he got older to enable himself to play at a high level. But yeah, when you talk about the ultimate talents of all time, I think you rattled off the top three right off the bat. I think it's Rodgers, Manning, and Mahomes.
713-780-ESPN. So the J.J. Watt saga. He's been, you know, a little bit, hey, look at me. Do I want to come back? He was asked a question, basically, at the softball game that he hosted, Celebrity All-Star Game, talked about it, et cetera, et cetera. He was on McAfee and kind of clarified his comment about coming back. Here's what he had to say.
Similar to the one we were just talking about, where you got to watch the full video for the context. I was asked about it. I told them the conversation D'Amico and I have had before. And I very clearly in that stated that they have no need or use for me whatsoever right now. They have a phenomenal defense built. They have a phenomenal team built. They're perfectly fine. It literally was last year and this year, if it came down to an absolute dire situation where they needed somebody to help out, I would do that. But that would be I don't think people fully understood like the how much stuff would have to happen for that scenario to play itself out.
So is this a walk back? Is this Homer Simpson walking back into the hedges?
I don't think so, but I think he still means it. I think there's a reason why he said he's still training for football activities for one more year. I think he wants it at a certain point, but I think that it's an insurance policy. When we were just talking about all this the other day, it seemed to be whether it was Brian's point that he didn't want to be at training camp anyway. He's going to wait. I just think that he walked back the fact that he could walk by onto the field like there was a need for the Texans to get him. But I don't think it dispels his desire to play and the fact that if any injuries occur, they've got an option that no other team has.
Yeah, I think that this was him majorly walking this back. He went from like, hey, you know, if just tell him to call me. Just tell him to call me if he needs me. And then D'Amico is like, yeah, well, I need him now. I got his number. And then Watt's like, well, it's going to take a bunch of injuries. It's going to have to be the perfect scenario. Absolutely, he's hedging in my mind. He's taking three steps back into the hedge like Homer Simpson in the famous GIF, the famous meme. What is the difference between a GIF and a meme? I don't even know. I think a meme might be a picture, whereas a GIF
a meme
moves.
Is a picture with a caption. A GIF is basically a looped video. A short loop video.
I think I got that right. I think I was right in the answer there. I'm not 100% sure that I was. But yeah, this is Watt walking it back.
I don't think he walked it all the way back into
J.J.
the bushes.
Watt.
I think there's still like his nose and maybe a few other things sticking out. I think that he walked it back that he was ready to do it immediately, but I still think he wants to do it at some point.
I didn't believe him though. Like
what?
I think he completely walked back. I think when he says like it would have to be a dire situation, like I take that as like when somebody, you know, asks you to move or a buddy asks you to go help him with something that you really don't want to help him with, a family member asks you to come over and do something you really don't want to do, it's like, yeah, I might be available. Let me see what I have going on. It almost came off like dismissive like that. Like maybe they had a conversation, it was said in jest, like, yeah, I could help you out. If you really need it, if you really need it, I'll help you out. Because, I mean, Tim Settle, Foley, they have room for J.J. Watt on this defensive line.
No, that's not his position, though.
But, and I'm talking that was the conversation we had. Like, because he's not playing 90% of the game. So, yeah, to me, it is because he'd be in the interior to me in sub packages. So it would be coming. He'd be coming in place of those guys like Foley and Settle.
Yeah, but the fact that Settle and Foley are on this team, I think, is irrelevant in terms of J.J. Watt coming back.
Totally is.
If they're winning, they wouldn't have a need for that for a guy to come in and sub packages.
What we discussed, Jeremy's right. If he was going to do this last year, then he would have. They had a need, but he wasn't. To your point, he wasn't at that time in football shape. The fact that he's now in football shape and that he said he's going to keep himself in football shape for one more year, that means that he wants to see the whole scenario play out. But if it's a winning team, because he still wants to win, if it's a winning team and there's a need for him at a certain point, then I still think he wants to do it. But I don't think he's trying to step on toes right now of the guys they brought in, because all those guys play the position he plays.
Yeah. I don't know if he even really knows if he wants to do it. Because I think if he really wanted to do it, he would be back. I think he's just kind of like keeping the door open in case he wants to.
In case he wants to ring chase, that's what this is.
Yeah, but also, like, why say this stuff publicly? You know what I mean? Like, why do this publicly and, like, mess with people and their expectations and their hopes and their desires? I know the answer.
You do
because it keeps
answer.
You in the cycle.
Yep.
And keeps you. Yeah, you're right. I don't really love that part of it. Like, if you're toying with the idea of, like, okay, I might come out of retirement in week 10 if, you know, the Texans are in the race to play for my good friend D'Amico, if there's an injury or two. Like, keep that behind closed doors, I think. I don't love the public playing out of this, like, temptation of maybe I'll want to if I kind of want to, if there's injuries and they're winning, but then I'll go on McAfee and kind of, well, I don't know if I want to as much as I said last week. That one, that does rub me the wrong way.
Well, Rogers. This is, he took a page.
Out of the Rogers playbook.
He obviously was a longtime Packer fan. He still follows Rodgers and all that. He followed Rodgers to a T. This is an attention grab. He's not the attention whore Rodgers is, but he's grabbing attention. He's staying relevant. He's leaving the door open at the same time. He's playing the game to a T right now with everything that he's done.
Yeah, not a fan of it. 2912 Watt has been a weird local celebrity. He's done some amazing things to the community, but he does a bad word like this that is quite cringy. See, I agree with that. And look, Watt, forever loved in this city, forever loved by me. I don't care if he does this cringy stuff. Like the fact that, and it's not even on the field, like raising the money during Hurricane Harvey, uplifting the city when the city was at one of its lowest points in the history of the city. Like, Watt's always going to be top notch for me, like forever, even if he does some quite cringy stuff like this. But whenever we talk about these things in a vacuum, not that it overpowers and overwhelms who J.J. Watt is and my feelings towards J.J. Watt, this is a little cringy. I agree with 2912.
It's what we've seen too many people do these days. Too many people are just click-driven and attention-driven and can't get enough of the limelight, and when they don't have what they used to have, the craving gets to be too much and they have to do things like this. There's no doubt he's a legend in this city, on and off the field. There's no doubt he's – I respect the hell out of him because I watched him play through college too and saw him do things before he became the guy that everybody knows in Houston, and know that he played the game the right – he has that unbelievable ticker that he plays hard on every play, and you have to respect that as well. But then everything that he's done – but you knew this was who he was when he came in. He was a diehard Wisconsin kid growing up, loving all those teams, and he played the game from day one when he would come back after practice every day with an Akeem jersey and with, you know, the Astros gear and declare himself H-Town for life and all that stuff. And we used to laugh about it all the time, going, boy, he's playing the game to a T. That's what everybody's out for these days, and you can't fault him for doing what everybody else has had success doing.
I don't know if it's entirely just clicks, though. Like, we had a piece of audio, I don't think we got to it yesterday, where he's on McAfee, and he's upset that people were saying that he couldn't play in the league still. And he even goes on, because it's McAfee and he could get away with it, drops a couple F-bombs and says, man, I led the league or I was top five in tackles for loss and sacks in my last year. Are you kidding me? I could definitely still play in this league. So I wonder if this is part of this is just to keep – Not necessarily for clicks, but like an ego stroke. Like, yeah, I'm good enough to play in this league if people still want me, but, you know, I don't need it right now, so I'm not going to.
Well, look,
maybe so.
Maybe that's part of it, but also just like when he came here, he got booed. When they first made the draft pick, there were people, some people that didn't like that pick, and he heard it. And at the same time, the best way to get in, to endear them, to endear yourself to a city, a new city for you, is to love all their teams. And that's why I said he played the game there and it worked, but he's done a ton just being who he is with the money he's raised and the things he's done. But it doesn't hold him short from saying, there are times I'm going to play the game and I'm going to do things like this too, and I don't fault him for it.
Yeah, that's not really what Brian was saying, though. Like, Brian was saying that he's kind of motivated based on what he's been seeing on his Twitter. Like, oh, no one wants this bum back. He's retired. He doesn't have anything
I
left
think
in
his
the
ego
tank.
Was insulted.
And he sees that as, like, motivation or whatever. Or maybe the desire to prove people wrong. And maybe, like, when he was drafted by the Texans from Wisconsin, people booed, and he had the desire to prove people wrong. That part wasn't really about, like, clicks and self-promotion and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, Blanker is a former athlete. He got upset whenever that guy said he'd cross him over on the basketball floor.
Yep.
I don't think Blankers is coming out of retirement.
No.
You know what I mean? So, well, like, I don't know if that really means that he has desire to play again.
Oh, I don't think he's playing.
I think, well.
I'm talking about Watt.
No, I agree. I don't think Watt's playing.
Oh, okay.
Like, after this most recent walk back, the amount of steps that he's putting in the way of coming back, to me, is a sign, again, I'll go back to the, like, you'll tell somebody you'll help them with something, but you don't really mean it. I mean, we all have that family member or friend that we may have tried to talk our way out of helping them with something. This totally came off to me as, you know, maybe I'll do it, but, you know, it has to be a dire situation. They have to be winning. I have to be in the right place. You know, my horoscope has to say it's okay. I got to talk to my grandma, see if she thinks it's okay. I don't think he really wants to come back.
I disagree with you. I don't think the door is closed. I still think there's a chance. I still think there's a chance because of the ego, because of the fact that he wants one more chance to win. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that during the week he'll start working out with the Texans a little bit, just to kind of your point, test himself against other NFL players and see if he does still have it.
7196, his days are behind him, great career, but he's a distraction and would be. Do you think
Ooh.
That's something that would come into play? Maybe too much of a distraction for the locker room? Is he worth the distraction if he is a distraction?
I think it all depends on how he plays, right? I think that if he comes in and plays well, I don't think
distraction. How though? In fact, I mean, he'll surely,
like Tim
surely,
Tebow effect. I mean, Tim Tebow effect. Like Tim Tebow, whenever Tim Tebow came in, Tim Tebow was such a distraction with media, and it became a circus, and the circus like kind of overwhelming for a locker room like that. I think that's what he means by distraction. I don't think it would be a distraction. I think that it would be fine. I don't think that it would be an issue, quite frankly.
I think the only way it's an issue is if that he's getting all this attention and he's not playing well.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think J.J. Watt will have more media members at his locker post-game than a lot of his other teammates, but I don't think it's the Tebow circus. It's not the mainstream media following him around every step of the way and turning everything he does into a back-page story. I don't think that's the type of attention J.J. Watt would get. I mean, I think the only way it really becomes a negative as far as the attention is if, like Joel said, he's playing poorly and all his teammates are having to ask or answer questions about how does J.J. Watt help you this week? That might be a negative, but otherwise I don't see it as a problem.
I mean, if he's poor, you just cut him. It's not, I mean, he's a one-year cheap deal. 8755, what if they want to help J.J. get a ring? If that's their motivation and desire in 2024, they got bigger issues than any of that. Like, what if they want to help J.J. get a ring? What if they want a ring? What if Will Anderson wants a ring for Will Anderson, not for J.J. Watt? What if C.J. Stroud wants a ring for C.J. Stroud, not for J.J. Watt? I don't think the goal of the 2024 season is, let's win one for the J.J. Watt. Let's win one for the Gipper, and the Gipper is J.J. Watt. JJ's in the media now, so he wants to keep his name circulating and popular, so that's why he was saying this publicly. The self-promotion bothers me. I'm not a big fan of the self-promotion. You can follow me on TikTok at Jeremy J. Branham, where today I do a behind-the-scenes of what it's like to do a radio show in your hotel room. 713-780-ESPN. Is Titus Howard a loser? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Is Titus Howard a loser? in a minute. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. This texture says it's pronounced GIF. Is it GIF or GIF?
It is GIF. The actual.
No, it's GIF.
No, the correct pronunciation is GIF, but everybody calls it a GIF.
No, it's GIF. I will die on this hill. I will fight you guys to the ends of the earth. It is GIF.
I don't have a dog in this fight.
I've heard multiple people. I even think Lance and John discussed this one day, but I've heard multiple.
Don't fight people over the age of 60 if you want to win this
battle. No, it's not only that, Jeremy, but I've heard multiple people that were adamant that it's the correct pronunciation is GIF. I think
sounds
Dell
like
was
Brian's
in on
heard
this.
A lot of people that thinks it's GIF. So you trust John and Lance more than you trust Brian.
I trust Dell, but I mean, okay. The last time Brian was willing to die on a hill, it was about RBIs.
Yeah, well, Jeremy and I have been fighting that battle for
I understand
a long time.
It's a great point, Brian Blankers. This says, okay, Google does not help. It says it's pronounced GIF, not GIF, but then it says Will Height told the New York Times they're wrong. It is a soft G. So, I don't know. Why is it pronounced GIF, not GIF? Is it GIF or GIF? This might be one of the greatest debates of all time. I don't know.
A hot dog, a sandwich.
Better than the next great food debate on Wheel of Bits.
What was the name of that high-pitched voice? Remember, there was two of them, Yanni and I can't remember the other. You know what I'm talking about? Where, like, you played the name, and then, like, half the people in the world thought it was
Yanni. Oh, it was like the color of the dress?
There was another one with the color of a dress. Someone saw, like, green, and other people saw
gold.
It. I can't remember the other color.
I think I saw gold. I saw gold.
Yeah, it was definitely gold.
That's
one of
just
the choices.
Because you're bougie.
Maybe. I don't know if it's GIF or JIF. I have no idea. I really don't. Usually very opinionated.
I am not willing to die on Tal's Hill like Brian, but I was pretty darn sure that I had heard that the correct pronunciation is JIF.
I don't even know who to ask. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who came up with this? Are there rules? Are there style rules? Is there MLA formatting? Is there AP style? Like, who would tell us if it's GIF or JIF?
Is there someone we believe with the actual voice pronunciation that we can go to on the internet that would give us the audio?
You could go to a YouTube and you could pull it up, but I don't know if I would trust every YouTube that has the pronunciation. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's something that has a whole lot of credibility,
right?
You know, so I don't know the answer to this. I'm gonna plead ignorance. I plead the fifth.
Who gets to make the official declaration? Yeah, Mark
Zuckerberg. Brian, why are you so confident? Like Blankers gave the reason why he was so confident. Why are you so confident?
I can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
I'm back on your side, Blankers.
I guess maybe this is. I'm trying to think of a way to sugarcoat this.
I'm going to die on this hill. Why? I don't know. I don't know.
No. It's partly because the people under a certain age pronounce it one way, and the people over a certain age pronounce it the other way. And I'm going to side with the people that understand the technology.
Just because young and dumb doesn't mean you know how to pronounce things makes it right. The fact is, I even heard people say it because they compared it to the peanut butter. And they're like, the proper way is just like saying the peanut butter, GIF, but too many people got roped into. It doesn't have to be. The pitcher for the Yankees the other night was spelled GIL, and they were saying it was Yeel. It can be pronounced in a multitude of different ways.
That guy's not.
It doesn't, just because it's a G doesn't mean it can't be GIF.
I mean, yeah, and there's weird pronunciations. Dictionary should have the phonetic spelling. Is it in the dictionary? GIF?
It's a good question.
GIF?
Was it one of those added words every year?
It could be. Just use your own heads. Fellas, the G stands for graphics. Therefore, you pronounce the G the same as you would graphics. Gugga graphics, gugga GIF. So he would say GIF. So that's contradicting to the other text that we got. Ask Siri.
Again, there is no right answer so far that I believe in.
It says GIF, not like the peanut butter. Do y'all know what this G stands for? I do now. It stands for graphics. Thank you very much, Smart Alec. Thanks to the Hive, I do know what it is. G and GIF is for graphics, so hard G. So hard, graphic, GIF, or GIF.
Why do I feel like I'm watching a video with my kids? I'm watching a video with my kids the way my daughter does that all the time. Potato.
You know who we need? We need Miss Rachel. We need Miss Rachel to tell us if it's GIF or GIF. That's what we need, because Miss Rachel knows everything, and she knows phonetics, she knows pronunciations. We need Miss Rachel. Can you get her on the horn, Brian? All right, Enough of that. I have no clue. Although the text line lit up.
Oh, by the way.
It hasn't gotten us closer to the answer. They're half, like, half say GIF, half say GIF.
Brian, pronounce G-I-S-T.
G-I-S-T?
Mm-hmm.
Gist?
Uh-huh. So it can't be done, huh? So gist is okay, but you can't have G-I-F be GIF.
How did that make your point?
Because the G is the first letter in gist, but it comes across sounding like a J.
Gist doesn't sound like a J.
What?
Am I wrong here? That sounds like a hard G.
GIF?
A hard G is
spelled with a J, but it sounds like a...
Well, either way, it's a different word. I mean, we don't pronounce all words the same. We don't use letters in different words the same way that we do in other words.
You just told me because it was a G, it couldn't be pronounced gist.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I have no recall of saying that, Joel.
All right, and for that reason, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out.
The inventor of
We were talking about peanut butter, not the word gist.
After that, okay, never
the mind. Inventor of the GIF says it's pronounced GIF, but the G means graphic, so it should be GIF.
So the inventor says how it's supposed to be pronounced, even though the G is for graphics. Suck it, Brian.
Yeah, see, I would go with what the inventor said. Like, he literally created the term. You know what I mean?
And he said it should be GIST. Or GIF, sorry.
Well, he didn't say GIF.
Sounds like GIST.
What other words sound like that, Blinkers?
Don't get me started.
Is Titus Howard a
Geronimo.
Loser? Okay, I don't know what that means.
You said what other words sound like that? Well, Geronimo.
Fair enough. I got sidetracked. Is Titus Howard? I don't know how we segue out of this.
Is Titus Howard a loser?
There we go. Is Titus Howard? I don't want to go to break. Is Titus Howard a loser? Someone on the Twitch. I lost it though because everybody's commenting on this GIF thing. He said that Titus Howard. Here it goes. Old school says I was watching that game and I was rooting for the Patriots. That's not what he said. We were talking about, okay, bruh, Titus Howard told me to get a life after I told him to watch tape. Titus Howard does like to comment on social media. He went after one of the Killer Bees one time on social media because they said that Laremy Tunsil should have helped his quarterback up when all the other offensive linemen helped the quarterback up. But here's why we're asking the question. Is Titus Howard a loser? He was listed by ESPN, Bill Barnwell, 2024 NFL draft winners, losers, players that were impacted by rookie picks. So this, like, one of the losers was Kirk Cousins because they drafted Penix, right? So, like, basically guys at your competition now, a winner Daniel Jones. Giants didn't draft a quarterback. A winner Ezekiel Elliott because the Cowboys didn't draft a running back and they signed Ezekiel Elliott. The losers, they had Rasheed Walker with the offensive tackle for the Packers, Brandon Ayuk, the receiver from the Niners because they drafted a receiver late in the first round, a winner Aaron Rodgers, I guess because they beefed up the offensive support around him. One of the losers they had listed was Titus Howard because they'd spent, the Texans, a second-round pick on Blake Fisher. So is this accurate? Titus Howard, a loser because of the Houston Texans 2024 draft?
I don't think so. I think it's, again, you get smarter by listening to this show until Brian pronounces GIF. When we've talked about the fact that one, positional flexibility is valuable, but two, so is depth. And they didn't have depth a year ago. And the fact is, yeah, when we were looking at pre-draft what they might do, we thought guard because the obvious is the fact that, you know, you drafted a guy to play guard in the first round that hasn't panned out. But that doesn't mean that you can't have the flexibility and the ability with Tunsil getting a little older, with the fact that you have had injuries, no matter where Howard has played or hasn't played. And if he does bounce around, he's paid like a top five right tackle. And the fact is that I don't think he's a loser at all. I think the Texans were just thinking overall depth with the ability to eventually transition into one of the tackle positions, depending on how everything plays out. But I don't think he's the reason why that they drafted another tackle.
I think that he is a loser because the Texans drafted a tackle. I think that Titus Howard's days as a Houston Texan are numbered. I think this is Titus Howard in a prove-it-or-lose-it year. And if he doesn't meet the overpaying of Titus Howard, the Titus Howard's days as a Houston Texan will be over after the 2024 season. The Texans can designate Titus Howard as a post-June 1st cut next year and save up to $14 million. Save up to $14 million if after this offseason designate him a post-June 1st cut, they can save $14 million. I don't think Titus Howard is worth his salary. I think that they drafted the offensive tackle from Notre Dame with the idea of, hey, if Titus Howard doesn't show us that he's worth the money, I don't think that he is, and I don't think he's going to show it, that they will cut him after the 2024 season, and Titus Howard will no longer be a Houston Texan. I would say yes.
I guess the reason is because everything they're doing is based on going for it this year. And for this year, I think that they did all the things for the reasons why I said. But, you make a valid point, right? We all know he's overpaid. But he also, there's arguments to be made both ways. But, I said in the future, if he ends up being one of their tackles, and that's planning for the future as well, it's great. I just don't think he's a loser because he made a boatload of money, and he's going to start at right tackle unless he gets hurt.
Yeah, so I guess it depends on the definition that you would have for loser here. But if he can't fulfill the contract, then he's cut, and they move on and use the guy that they drafted to be his replacement. ESPN thinks so. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, the Will of Bits. Is it GIF or is it just kidding? Will of Bits. You never know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be great. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. So we know that Will of Bits is going to be great. Reminds me of something else that is great. Gentle Ben. And it's a great pleasure of mine to tell you about the greatness of Gentle Ben. Gentle Ben is the best. The vodka, best in the state. The gin, best in the market. Or the bourbon, the double platinum winner at the prestigious Ascot Awards. Gentle Ben uses their innovative, revolutionary technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirit you will ever taste. Smooth, clean, eliminates the burn. Don't labor through your drink. Enjoy it. Savor it. You're going to do that with Gentle Ben. You're also going to love what's not in it, including gluten. Gentle Ben isn't going to brag about that, though. All spirits are naturally gluten-free. Just get your hands on some Gentle Ben. Give it a shot. You hear me talk about it all the time. And once you give it a shot, you're going to be a Gentle Ben consumer for the rest of your life. Stop by Ben's Bar at Minute Maid Park when you go to an Astros game, just to the left of the Crawford boxes. Pick up some Gentle Ben with your baseball on the way to your seats. Head to the Gentle Ben tasting room, favorite restaurant, favorite bar. Ask for it there. Pick it up on the way home, whatever liquor store that you go to. And also, if you just want to order straight from the website, you can do that. Head to GentleBen.com to learn the incredible story and also to order straight online. You can order from the website, GentleBen.com. Highest craft, softest sip. That's Gentle Ben.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh, my goodness, would you look at this. What an enormous spin.
Let's play dumb questions at presses.
What an enormous spin. So dumb questions at a press conference. Is it dumber than the debate we just had?
It was fun.
I didn't say it wasn't fun. It could be dumb and fun. They say that about young people all the time, right? Fun and dumb and young.
Yep.
So dumb questions asked at press conferences. Here was one that was asked to Anthony Edwards the other day.
Hey, you talked in that Phoenix series a lot about the way you saw Kevin and how that motivated you. And at your age, it's got to be fun to see all these OGs right in front of you. Is there anything like that in this series? Like what's your...
Nah, these guys 3-4 years older than me, man, yeah.
I mean, Jamal been around for a minute. Is that a guy that you've been tracking at all?
Nah, hell nah. Like I said, he's 27?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm finna turn 23, dog. Yeah. KD 36, 35. Right. Yeah. Come on, man. There's no disrespect to Jamal. I don't know what you're trying to start, but yeah, he's no. Not at all.
That was weird that he doubled down on the question. Like, it's one thing to ask the question, like, okay, like, we've all been there. We've asked dumb questions.
Yep.
But then to get that answer and then double down on it, that's odd. That's weird.
And then I don't think he really knew how old Jamal Murray was either. I think he was
maybe not, yeah.
Yeah, and he was definitely grasping and flailing, but you're right. He should have probably just taken the L at that point. But good on Edwards for answering it the way he did too. I don't think that he was looking to create like some extra bulletin board within the series, but I thought it was stupid to bring up a guy that's that current in the league as a guy that he would look up to.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think that he was trying to create drama. I just think it was a bad question. Mm-hmm. I think it was an innocent bad question with a bad double down on the question again. And yeah, Anthony Edwards is my favorite non-Rocket in the NBA. I love Anthony Edwards. He's new hotness.
He's improving with every game. He's really good.
Yeah, he's a stud. All right, here was the next bad question asked at a press conference. Caitlin Clark got asked another bad Saturday.
Will Bay be here?
Who?
Is Bay going to be here?
Bay?
Is Bay going to be here?
Who?
Is will Bay be here?
No, he's working.
I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You know what Bay means?
Yeah, I'm flying solo. Yeah. I better get used to it, man. It's my job.
Like your significant
you know what Bay
other.
Blinkers?
Yeah, your significant other.
But before, well, that's, I mean, it stands for something. It's an acronym.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's before all else.
Oh,
Bay,
really?
B-A-E. Before all
How's
else.
How's that pronounced,
yeah,
Brian?
That's what Bay means.
I thought it was before anyone else.
Oh!
It might be. It might be. Anyone, all. It's kind of the same thing. You might be right.
B-Mac's going all in on all this stuff today.
I mean, there's not really a difference between all and anybody.
Well, there kind of is.
It could be
either
one.
Other than the correct acronym.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you aren't very good in the whole GIF argument.
You
might be right. I don't know.
His explanation was fantastic.
Peek behind the curtains, our microphone jack in this studio.
Oh, you're blaming on that? Okay.
Is absolute crap, so I'm only hearing every third word, so it's kind of hard to have back to our conversations.
Okay.
Yeah, he was right, so I was wrong. I've been here, I'm trying to flex on blankers, and I wasn't even right. It is before anyone else. Brian is right on that. Why are you asking Caitlin Clark, is Bay going to be here? What in the world? Why does Caitlin Clark get the weirdest questions? Would you ask this to an NBA player?
I wouldn't care. I wouldn't ask it. And I don't – I mean, it's just like when you get larger than life, everybody just wants to feel a part of the fray and be like – you've seen it before. There's too many times that you've seen press conferences or scrums when you know someone just feels like they have to ask a question. They have to be part of it. And then it sucks.
Yeah, would Travis Kelce be asked if Bay is going to be here?
Oh, yes, he
would.
Yes, he would. That's a different scenario.
He might have been asked that about Taylor Swift. It's just weird. Caitlin Clark, I think, is dating one of Fran McCaffrey. Is that that's the coach at Iowa, right?
Yeah,
Fran
that's
McCaffrey.
The coach at Iowa. Yep.
It's McCaffrey.
Yep.
I think she's dating one of his sons.
Oh, really? Because he had two sons that played at Iowa, I believe, for him recently.
That's right. I think one just entered the transfer portal. I think he was there last year, and he entered the transfer portal this year.
Ooh, that's a
which is not the one that's dating Caitlin. I think the one that's dating Caitlin's a little older. And I think he might be on staff at Iowa as like a grad assistant or something.
Well, if you leave in the old man's program, that's a gutsy maneuver for family relations.
Yeah, it might be, though, because he's not getting run or something like that. It might not be. I mean, everybody who enters the transfer portal doesn't mean that it's, like, disgruntled or a bad relationship. It's just it's the best for both parties, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you want to play more. The coach is recruiting over you. Like, it doesn't have
but
to
I'm
be
saying, but
a
normally you move on and you probably rarely, if ever, interact with that coach again, as opposed to having all holidays and family dinners on special occasions with the guy. It might be a little dicey for a while.
I mean, not if it was like fine on both parties. Like if if he didn't really care, he wanted to get his son playing time. Like I don't see why that would be an issue.
I'm just saying it could be. I don't know if she's dating Myron, who's an accountant from Iowa, or McCaffrey's kid. But I don't think I'd ever would have been the slightest bit concerned if he was going to be at the game or not.
And then to say Bay, like, well, hey, is your boyfriend coming? Like it's a little different than Bay. All right. Last one, Cal McNair was asked this question about Tank Dell at the golf tournament the other day.
When you use Portland design, when you do talk to him, what do you say to him? How do you convey your love for him as well as concern? And you want him to learn.
That's kind of between us and Tank, just what we talk about with him. That's a hard situation to be in, so those are kind of fresh conversations.
What do you want him to learn in a situation like that?
Again, I think that stuff we just talk about privately. And, in any situation in life, you're going to learn something.
I mean,
wants him to learn not to get shot again.
What did he want him to say? I want him to go to the chalkboard and write, I will not go to VIP parties ever again 100 times. I mean, you're telling a grown-ass man that he can't go to a party and you want the owner to crack down on him like it's parents saying he's losing his allowance and he's punished? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he did anything wrong. You know what I mean?
At all.
Like, it wasn't a Rashee Rice situation where he's, like, speeding up on people and causing a wreck and then fleeing the scene. Like, he went to hang out with friends at a party he was invited to.
Yeah, or at a bar, you know? Punching a photographer, regardless. You're a grown-ass man. These people own the team that you play for, so it's essentially like the people that own the company that you work for in the business world. You're going to tell me that they're going to go back and they're going to throw, like, parental guidance on one of their employees and say, you weren't on work time, you were doing your own thing, but here's what I feel and what you're going to do.
And what did he do wrong? Like, that's the thing. Like,
right.
If it would be one thing if, like, he was carrying illegally. I don't know the laws in Florida. Like, that would be one thing. Or if he broke the law, that would be one thing. He didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly.
You know, he was just in a spot where, you know, the unfortunate events happened. All right. Car wreck of the day. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Guys, before we get to the car wreck of the day, I do want to remind you that the dog days of summer are right around the corner, and if they aren't already here, it's only going to get hotter in Houston, and you need to make sure your HVAC units, your air conditioning is up to snuff. Have everything checked out right now, and if something, God forbid, goes wrong, keep this number in your phone because it's going to help you along the way. It's 281-557-COOL. I'll get to that number again, but the reason why I tell you to do that is because when you have any issues, it could be plumbing related because they do that too and they do it better than anybody else, but primarily and because of the fact that we have so much heat in Houston, you need to be prepared if your AC unit goes on the fritz. Maybe you need a new unit altogether. Maybe you just need a part replaced, but you need people that are reputable, that are going to stand behind their work and are going to take care of you every step of the way, and that's why I tell you about Vanderford Air. Vanderford Air does all of the above and more, so much so that when you call them, even if it's 116 out and there's all kinds of people with problems, if you call them within 24 hours, they're going to come and see you. They're not going to tell you we'll be there next week. They're not going to tell you we'll get back to you when it slows down a little bit. They're going to get to you as soon as they possibly can, the urgency that you need, and then the attention to detail to guarantee everything that they do. It's 100% money-back guarantee on everything. The parts, the labor, the ability to have the equipment that they put in or the part that they fix work at the exact level it's supposed to. 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back, and they will be at your door within 24 hours when you call them. Those are the two reasons why you want that number in your phone at all times. Save it right now, 281-557-COOL. Go to the website, VanderfordAir.com. But remember, they're locally owned and operated. They're a family-run business, and their main priority is to take care of you as Houstonians, and that's why you want to have that number. 281-557-COOL, 100% money back guarantee, said Vanderford Air.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
4965 says, come on, fellas. It's not unheard of to question somebody that got shot at a party about who he is hanging out with and where he should hang out. Shootings happen everywhere.
But it's also not
everywhere. And how do we know that the people that he, like, how do we know the shooter was his friend? Do we know that?
Or
are we,
I've never heard that.
I haven't either.
I had not heard a direct correlational relationship between Tank and the shooter. I just know it was even a VIP party.
I have not either.
I heard it was like a VIP party, invitation only type party. So it wasn't like he went into a bad area, to a bad club, or knew that there might be trouble there. And again, you don't ask the team owners if they're going to, what, slap him on the wrist and what kind of stern talking to is he going to get? Stop it already.
Well, I mean, he said, what lesson do you want him to learn? He didn't say final or anything like that. All right, what are you nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What do you have, Blankers?
The easy one every day for me is Astros. I won't go there. I'll leave that to you guys. The one to me that's going to chap my ass is the fact that...
So we're going to go with the easy answer?
I mean, you guys could go whatever you want, but I mean, obviously it's low-hanging fruit with as bad as the Astros have been. The big thing to me is the NBA. The NBA as a whole, and whoever is sending down punishments, You are a car wreck, and it is weak sauce. The fact that Pat Beverly only got four games for three major incidents, yeah, three, because he threw the ball twice, and then he acted up to the ESPN reporter in the locker room, that's absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that Jamal Murray, who didn't get tossed, threw two different things. So actually, it's four, because it's five. Three from Pat Beverly, a towel, and a hydroculator pad, and all you get a financial fine, but you don't get a suspension for all of that BS. You got to get tougher, NBA, because that was some absolute weak sauce.
What kind of pad?
It's a hydroculator pad. It's what they call a heating pad in the NBA when they wrap it in the outer thing that
use an insider lingo with us.
A hydroculator.
Well, one more time on what it was called.
It's called a hydroculator. Yep.
No, it's pronounced Jif.
Flankers is talking dirty, you, Brian. What? What? I don't want to. Like, I'm wanting to say this word, but I'm gonna butcher it so much that it's gonna be a drop forever. What was it called?
Hydroculator.
There you go. I pulled it off without embarrassing myself. Hydroculator.
Yep.
Yeah. Adam Silver's gone soft. I agree with this one. You know, Murray doesn't get a game at all. Patrick Beverly got four. He threw the ball in the stands twice and rifled it in there faster than Justin Verlander could throw his fastball these days. He got four games.
Then doubles down on the reporter.
Up and in for six.
And then doubles down on the reporter after it. Same game. Probably an hour later or less than an hour later, he doubles down in the locker room, and that's all you're giving him? Come on, man.
Super soft. The offside call in the Real Madrid match yesterday. Unbelievable. There's match fixing, basically, I think, going on in the Champions League. It disgusts me that these officials are making a mockery of the world's game.
I know Andrew Carlson and Glenn Davis were on your side of that.
Oh, yeah, they definitely were on your side.
Smart. I hold both of them in high esteem.
Both pronounce it Jif, by the way, too.
Do you really know that?
No.
So okay. I've
put words in their mouth.
I've got two, both from the
just
Pacers. Rick Carlisle's post-game press conference, I thought, was pretty petty and small time. And then the Pacers, I don't know if you've seen this report, sending 78 calls from the two games against the Knicks so far to the NBA office. Holy Daryl Morey.
I was going to say, is Daryl moonlighting?
Oh, my God, he's putting Daryl Morey to shame. But, yeah, 78 calls they're sending to the front office just... Shut up. Win, play better, win the games. 78 calls? Come on.
Was
petty?
What was the – after the 27 missed threes game, was it 89 pages or 89 –
That I don't know.
Yeah, he sent like a Sears catalog of 89 pages of all, highlighting all the bad calls that
okay,
the
well,
Rockets
maybe Daryl
didn't
Morey's get. Still the king of this.
It's close.
But, yeah,
how do you
Pacers
know that?
Are...
How do you think I know that, Jeremy?
What game was it, though? What game was that for Morey?
It was in the playoffs after
he did it
27
after
missed threes.
So it was after the they were eliminated. Finals?
Yeah, after they
so
got
after
beat.
They were eliminated.
Oh, no game
so
seven,
this is
right.
The difference here. Carlisle's doing a little gamesmanship. Like, it's petty, 100%. I don't mind it in the middle of a series. If it gets you one call, it's worth it. So the pettiness here is fine, in my opinion. Doing it after you've been eliminated, I don't like that.
This
I
is
agree with that.
Phil Jackson-esque. Phil Jackson used to do
yeah,
this
exactly.
in a series to get the referees to either call a closer whistle or a looser whistle based on what he wanted.
Yep.
You know the one
school.
Thing I learned,
it's old
though?
School head coaching in a playoff series.
I didn't realize this, but this is cool because you can get narked on pretty easy by the team that you're going against. The fact is when you turn any play into the league, the team that it happened against also gets the report and the play, and they get told of what you told on them for.
I like that.
I think it's very good.
Fairness there.
Yep, I like that
yeah,
as well.
I like
transparency
that a lot too. A couple of texters said the GIF conversation, and Oso tweeted one in the proposed NHL names in Utah, like Ice and Mammoth
Yeti.
And Yeti.
That's
Freeze.
Dumb.
All right, yeah. What's winning?
I'm going to go off the board and say the Astros again last night and Spencer Arrighetti.
Let's go with the Astros until they win a game.
That's right.
The Astros car wreck of the day. Space Cowboys on 92.5 at 9:35. Hall of Fame coming up at 7. Brian, thank you for the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brad. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Good night.